Hello, and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. Herbie Hinks. We already know he's a hero. What we're about to learn is that Herbie is a practical joker. For Rembrandt and Doreen, that's a big problem. Please join me today as I read the story, Herbie's Wedding Plans. The moral of today's parable is found in Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. The wedding was planned for June. June 17th, to be exact. Invitations were ordered and sent off. The details were meticulously arranged by Doreen and Rembrandt. In truth, they were made by Doreen. Rembrandt learned quickly that his part in the preparations involved repeating the phrases, "Yes, dear," and "That's a great choice." The only person as excited about the wedding as Rembrandt and Doreen was Herbie. Back home in Stephenville, Newfoundland, weddings were one of his favorite occasions. And for the Hinks family, weddings were a grand holiday. Each member had a part to play in the festivities. Unbeknownst to Doreen and Rembrandt, Herbie was going to add his special something to their wedding. There is a proud tradition in the Hinks family, a tradition Herbie felt obligated to include in the upcoming nuptials. It was a tradition championed by the unmarried men of the family, the wedding prank. Preparations were shrouded in secrecy. Nothing was to be revealed until the prank was unleashed. Since Herbie considered Rembrandt and Doreen part of his Ontario family, he also plunged headlong into meticulous preparations. Unlike Doreen, who spoke incessantly about the wedding, Herbie kept his plans close to the vest. They wouldn't learn about Herbie's grand design until it was too late. The pranks of the Hinks clan were by no means pedestrian. There was no stealing of the bride. There were no jokes about objection to the marriage. Oh no, those were for amateurs. At one wedding, the Hinks men stole the groom's light blue Civic and painted it black. At another wedding, they toilet papered every item in the newlyweds' house. After the wedding of Herbie's parents, the pranksters set up recording equipment under their bed. Herbie knew that whatever he planned, it had to be epic. Unfortunately, he had an epic plan. A month before the wedding, Doreen got a call from her parents in Cumberland, British Columbia. "Dear, we're so sorry. We've changed our flights. We'll be there tomorrow," said Doreen's mom. She sounded like she'd been crying. "What? Why?" said Doreen. "We're coming down for the service." "What day are you planning it for?" asked Doreen's mom. "The day hasn't changed," said Doreen. "You're holding it on your wedding day?" asked her mom. "Why would I change it now? Everything's planned for the 17th, said Doreen. There was a pause. "If you're sure, you know we're here for you," said Doreen's mom. "I'm sure," said Doreen. "Won't you need help making arrangements?" asked her mom. "Everything's taken care of. Rembrandt did a lot of it himself. He's so considerate," said Doreen. She is trying to hide her annoyance. "Okay, we'll keep our original plans," said her mom. "Don't start messing with everything now," said Doreen. "Okay, sweetheart, be strong. Your dad and I are praying for you through this difficult time. You're our only child and we worry about you. Remember, we love you," said Doreen's mom. "Love you too, mom. Bye," said Doreen. An uneasy feeling formed in the pit of her stomach as she hung up the phone. The next day, Doreen went to work at the Morton's Coffee Pub. Rembrandt had the day off to complete Doreen's 3-page to-do list. Upon arrival, Doreen was immediately greeted with a hug from Butch. Myrtle was behind him, sobbing into a tissue. "Why don't you take the day off today?" said Butch. "Take all the time you need," said Myrtle between sobs. "What are you talking about?" said Doreen. Manitou and Bob, Oscar, and the dancing cowboy sat at a table nearby. Bob got up and put his hand on Doreen's shoulder. I read about it this morning. Why didn't you tell anyone? You know you don't have to go through this alone, said Bob. He handed her that day's newspaper. It was open to the obituary section. In the third column, she found a death notice for Rembrandt Rempel. The restaurant went silent as Doreen read. Wait, what? It says he died when he was attacked by a cod walking home on Cannon Street, said Doreen. It's just awful, said Myrtle. That doesn't make any sense. How could he be attacked by a cod, said Doreen. I figured they meant mob, like, you know, it was a mob hit. You know, mob, cod. They kind of sound the same, said Butch. No, they don't. And why would the mob put a hit on Rembrandt, said Doreen. At that moment, she noticed Herbie giggling at the drive-thru counter. It all started to make sense. Herbie Hinks, you're a dead man, yelled Doreen. Not as dead as Rembrandt. I'm still single. Woohoo! Laughed Herbie. He took off, running for cover. Show some respect, scolded Myrtle. Rembrandt's not dead, shouted Doreen. Think about it. Beaten to death by a cod. Really? They all looked at each other sheepishly. I was sure it was a typo, said Butch. A sudden horror gripped Doreen. You sent it to my parents. Actually, I put it in the Cumberland Expositor, said Herbie, still giggling. Oh, that's mean, said Manitoulin Bob. Yeah, said Herbie, with a sinister smile. Doreen lunged forward, catching Herbie off guard. She pinned him against the wall. Why did you do it? She demanded. Playing a joke on the wedding couple's a family tradition, explained Herbie. We are not family, said Doreen. Her words were deliberate and intense. Herbie's smile faded. He looked at Doreen with a mixture of curiosity and pity. Of course we are, he said. Doreen let him go. All her life, Doreen was an only child. Her parents were only children. She was used to life without an extended family. She only imagined what life would be like in a big family. This was the first time she ever knew that feeling. Tears welled up in her eyes as her face softened. Her mouth formed the only words that came into her mind. Thank you. Eventually, the confusion was cleared up. Herbie called Doreen's parents and explained everything. They seemed more relieved that the marriage was still on. A few people around the restaurant chuckled. Most were simply relieved. Myrtle was insulted, but Butch stayed mad the longest. He was upset Herbie didn't include him in the joke. When Rembrandt learned of the prank, he laughed. But he also gave Herbie a warning. Someday, Herbie would get married, and Doreen would remember. When it comes to family, she always remembers. Thank you for listening to the story, Herbie's Wedding Plans. If you have any questions or comments about the Rembrandt Parables, you can leave them on the iTunes Store. Just search for the Rembrandt Parables, or through the website www.therembrandtparables.com. I hope you'll join me again in the future for another Rembrandt Parable. In the meantime, let me wish you a good day, and may God bless.